We've lost the band, but shame. But we're just going to take up the offering anyway. And we don't need music, do we? It's just kind of like one of our traditions. Lord, we just thank you for your provision for us. And Lord, we thank you that all you're investing into us in so many ways. And Lord, we want to bring to you now some of our finances, just as a representation of our thankfulness to you for your goodness that's at work in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you again for the many different ways that there are that we can give, and Lord, for those who give by standing order and all those kind of practical ways. Lord, we just want to kind of want to release that sense of your blessing. Lord, just as we've heard about generosity, that so often that we reap so much more than we sow. So Lord, let us not give to receive, but we want to kind of receive the fruits of that kind of generosity, of that kind of giving in our lives. And Lord, just in this context, I want to pray for anybody in the congregation who is struggling financially, for anybody that's out of work. Lord, we just kind of speak your provision, your goodness over these families, over these people. And we just speak breakthrough in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would be what you've promised to be, that you would be their provider, that you would provide for every single need. And not just enough, but Lord, enough to be generous and to give away. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Alan, do you want to, or Eileen, I don't know quite who I'm handing over to.
Thank you. I can't see Ben and Katie Lou here. Are they here? Are they here? Pardon? Oh, yeah, that's wrong. You never know what your daughters are doing. we've been quite on the Uganda front this year deliberately because it's a little bit of a lower key year. We're not taking a massive team out, as you can see from the notices. This is our beginning of our second decade of going. And so we're having a little bit of a pause in proceedings. So it's just six of us going, and it was going to be eight of us. That was Alan and Eileen, Ben and Katie Lou, Becky and Ollie, and Steve, our son, and his girlfriend, Fee. And we'd all booked to do that, and it was going to be fantastic family time out there, the only time we could probably all do it at one time. Unfortunately, Fee, Steve's girlfriend, has got a number of health issues, so we've had to cancel her and Steve coming. So that'll come another time, I'm sure. Fee is a physiotherapist working with disabled children, and she'd love to come out and experience all that. So we're going to be doing quite a number of things we normally do, just on a scaled-down version, so visiting schools, the women's projects that we support, the churches that we're involved with, Sutherland Orphans.
Eyes and teaching.
Yeah. What you can do in your medical seminar?
I'm doing some, be interesting. I'm doing some teaching with Catherine. Be fun working with her as well. I'm doing some stuff on family planning. And it's good your Bally's not with us, isn't it? So family planning, antenatal care, and some teaching on malaria. Plus they've got their Where There Is No Doctor book. We'll take that out for them as well. It's a new group we haven't worked with.
So we're going to do a week's worth of the kind of work stuff, and then we're going to have a bit of a holiday. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? A few days visiting a game park in the north, so we'll see some exotic animals other than goats and chickens for the first time, which should be fun. Do pray for, obviously, all the things about safety and travel and connections. It'd be good, actually, if somebody could pray for Eileen's back, which she's just put out a little bit yesterday doing a bit of gardening, so that's not a good start to going on 12 hours of flights and so on. Pray for Robert Adiba, who I spoke to last weekend, and he'd had another bout of malaria, which is just, you know, kind of par for the course out there. Pray that he particularly will be well when we're there, because we need him to take us around all the different places. And just pray that God opens up some new things for next year. Yeah, this whole thing has caught the imagination of a few people, which is why a Reading Operatic Society gig is happening that John and Mel and Lynn and others have organised, and it's great. We didn't have to have anything to do with that. People are beginning to catch hold of it and want to see that sort of stuff happening. And thanks to all those, talking about generosity, who have contributed. We've not banged the drum at all, really, this year. But because of your generosity and other people's, we're just able to get and do the stuff that that we can do, including this borehole business, which John and Mel have really grabbed hold of. And we'll go and explore that a bit more and see what we can tell you when we come back.
And people like little young Mel and her mosquito nets. Yeah. And I'm going to take a picture of Nell over, and I think she's done a little note for them, has she? She's going to do one. And just to make it special for her as well, for all the work that she did in getting loads of money for mosquito nets. And it's going to make a huge difference to a number of lives out there.
Yeah, and that's all her work. That's brilliant. Last thing, Patrick, you may remember, is one of the names of the orphans who's been in the first batch, who's kind of now grown up. He's at university. He's finishing his Bachelor's of Science in Computing Technology, and he will be taking his final exams just after we leave. I had an interesting conversation with somebody up at Reading University, to just connections that I have there with my work, and they say that they have some scholarships that they give to students in sub-Saharan Africa, and in the whole of sub-Saharan Africa, and can you believe it, they have difficulty finding students to give them to. So I said, I think I can help you there. So pray about that. There are connections at the university with Uganda as well, so it's just interesting, the whole things that crop up. John and Ali's party yesterday, one of the midwives who came last year puts in touch with another one of her colleagues who will probably want to come next year as well. Somebody else who's been in previous years will want to come. When we get back, planning for next year begins.
One or two people, would you like to come out? We're going to pray for Alan and Eileen and the rest of the family. But if anybody particularly likes to pray for Eileen's back as well, let's just come and pray for them.
To help Alan. Just a little bulletin. 5 minutes ago, received a text from Pal, who's the wife of Kev that we were praying for just now, who's been in hospital. And it says this, it's at 11:14, Kev being discharged from hospital. Due out on Tuesday, wasn't he? Picking up him up in 1 hour, and there's no long-term damage to his pancreas.
Well, that was good. A whole number of people are out on Laurel Park this morning getting ready for the 660 this afternoon, which could be really exciting, isn't it? Actually, taking something of the kingdom out into the community. I love it. And last night at the Duffields, we had the Yokogo Choir doing a fantastic performance over for John and Ali. That was really good as well. So well done, everybody. Nigel, sorry to put you on the spot, but Nigel told us a little story this morning in the prayer time about his reversing antics in his car this morning. Can you just come and tell us about that? I know this sounds a bit strange, but bear with me.
My heart wasn't beating. I wasn't going to come up. Praying in the prayer meeting this morning, and Steve was talking on generosity and the economic financial situation. Sort of our fears can get blown up sometimes on these things. We can see all this desperation and everything happening, and we can just get paranoid. And a picture that sort of came this morning, got a new car, and it's got one of these fancy gadgets with a camera on the back, so you can see where you're reversing into. And when you hit something, you know you've hit it. I looked in this camera this morning as I was reversing back here, and I could just see something little sort of moving. I thought, oh. And then gradually it got bigger and bigger. It was a spider thing. And by the end, it looked like a monster tarantula at the back of my car. But I think that's sometimes what happens with us. We see things, we get distorted views through how we see things, as opposed to looking at things how in reality or through God's eyes. Right? Things get blown up and disproportionate, and we see monster tarantulas, whereas in reality it's this tiny little spider.
Yeah. Thanks, Nigel. He wasn't so terrified that he smashed his car into the back of wherever he was going. I love little stories like that because they speak so loudly, don't they? And I just felt that came back to me as we were worshiping this morning. And in the Bible it says that perfect love casts out fear. And the good news is sometimes as Christians, when we get fearful and anxious, we can think that's a bad thing. We didn't ought to feel like that because we've got God in our lives. But the whole point is we do. And that's why there is provision for fears and anxieties. And just we're here together this morning, if there's any one thing or many things in your life that you feel anxious or fearful about, what I'd like you to do is just to hold one hand in front of you like that. It could be about your family. It could be... There's a whole lot of things that get us fearful and anxious, aren't there? And I want to pray just simply, really, that perfect love, the perfect love of Jesus, will cast out fear. And that our mindsets will change. Because one of the lies, and there are many lies that we get into the habit of believing, is that problems are bigger than God. And a lot of problems and issues in our lives are bigger than we can work out. But there is always a solution to these problems in God. And they're often different to the way we would try to work them out, would like them to be. But let's give them back to God today. And we want to be a church that gives everything back to God, don't we? And that gives him space to move, I believe. That gives him the opportunity to say, right, now I can do something about it. So it's kind of laying hold of his word by faith. Okay, so I'm going to close my eyes. I'm not, I have anxieties like you and fears. And if there's anything, financial, mortgage, job, wife, husband, loneliness, anything in life that you're fearful about, just hold your hand out to him now. And in Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you that you have given your Son, you've given us your word, you've given us the Holy Spirit, and you have said that perfect love casts away fear. And we know, Father God, that you are our Father and you have perfect love for us. that every one of us here in this room that has given our lives to you are your children. And so, Father, we receive your perfect love and pray over our mindsets now, over our minds, that they will be free from the trap of feeling that there's nothing that can be done about this situation. We hand it to you and invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and work afresh in whatever situation is in our minds that we're holding our hands out for today. And we look forward, Lord, to hearing stories of how you've not only answered prayers, but how you've given peace. Lord, in this world that we live, peace is such a precious, special gift. And we pray that it will prevail among us, that we might be able to impart it to others because we're living in it ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's really the whole point, isn't it? We've got something to give away. We planned a few weeks ago to have a little bit of a morning this morning talking about money. And you might think, well, this is, you know, don't feel too comfortable about talking about money. But actually, in the context of the kingdom of God, Jesus had quite a lot to say about it. And we planned this, or we, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit provoked us to be planning this today. He knew what was going to happen in our country this week with yet another banking crisis. And let's face it, what's happened to Barclays Bank this week is probably going to roll out to other banks as well, because the heart of the problem is human greed, isn't it? And we know what that's like. You know, we want more, we want more, we want more. And within the banking industry, in the finance district, there's been shaking after shaking after shaking. And we've probably only seen the tip of the iceberg, if the truth be told. So what's the solution? I watched a little bit of the Andrew Marr show, and of course the solution is let's have another committee, let's investigate it all, let's provide yet more legislation. But you cannot legislate for the human heart. That's the problem. It's inside of us. Now, within the kingdom of God, God has ordained something called church, where we actually become salt and light and model something differently. A whole bunch of people that can be trusted, who are learning how not to be greedy. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because fear tends to generate a feeling in us that says, I need to accumulate a little bit more, just put a little bit more by so that I'll be okay. Well, when shaking comes, who knows what okay means anyway? So our trust needs to be in God, doesn't it, really? So we want to, this morning, just take the next 30 minutes or so just to give some just very practical updates. Because sometimes when you're part of a church like Brookside, we have once or twice a year a communication forum that you know, probably a third of the church are able to get along to. And a whole lot of us miss the kind of inside story of some of the things that are going on. And sometimes we just have to be downright practical and say, yeah, in church it costs money to run a church, but we've got every confidence, not just because we know who God is, but because of our track record with him as a church has been exceptional. He's always provided for everything that he's laid before us to do. He's a good God. He's a kind father. How does he do that? He does that through the generosity of his people. So the success of Brookside Church is totally in the hands of his work in every one of our individual lives, because we give because he's given to us. So for everyone who's involved in giving, and I'm not just talking about financial giving, I'm talking about giving of your time, your energy, your possession, your home, we thank you and we honour you and salute you and trust that God will bless you abundantly out of your generosity. And that's just the way it works in the kingdom. It's an easy thing. So we've asked John to just to come out and just present some of the real nuts and bolts of where we are financially and where things are looking forward to in the future. And today, Sunday 1st of July, happens to be the first day of our financial year for 2012-2013. You might think that's a strange time to start a financial year. It just happens to be the time we set up the charitable trust for the church this time of year. So we're just going to give a little bit of feedback. After that, I'm just going to come back and just share a few biblical principles in terms of giving and how that works at Brookside. And thereby, hopefully, you'll be a little bit more informed and able to share with the leadership of the church, and not least in your prayers, that God will be the provider he's promised he will be. So, John, over to you. John puts so much time on our behalf to do this stuff. So we're really grateful, John, for everything that you do for us.
Okay. Yeah, it's a sort of strange day to be talking about finance. Usually we do it at communications meetings, like Steve has said. But those of you who were there at the last meeting will know that presented a sort of slightly negative picture. The trends of our giving were going down a bit. It wasn't looking quite so good. But since then, there's been an amazing response. We're not fully there yet, but I hope what I'll show now is a real encouragement to you, as just how God's sort of acted on people and people have been generous in their giving. So it's a good news story today, and if you're not part of the church and you want to close your eyes and think about something else for a bit, that's fine. But hopefully, even if you're not part of the church, you'll be encouraged to see what God's doing. So first of all, we'll have a look at the financial year that's just ended. It ended last night. Thanks, Alan. First of all, the numbers, so you don't get confused, they're in thousands of pounds for the whole year. Our income isn't just sort of like £200, it's £200,000. So these are quite big numbers. Okay. First of all, the first column on the left-hand side is the budget we set for the year. That's just finished. So we were expecting income of 201,000 and costs of 210. So we actually budgeted to make a loss for the year because that was based on the trends that were happening this time last year. And that sort of loss was something we could sustain. We've had years when we've made a surplus and we have some years we've made a loss. So we could afford that sort of loss for this year. It's not something you can sustain, but it was okay for this year. Then what's actually happened, or it's an estimate because the accounts aren't quite final yet, although our financial year ended yesterday. It'll be another week or 10 days before the numbers are finalised, but they're probably accurate within £1,000. Income's come in at £198,000, £3,000 less than budget, but on costs we've saved £4,000, so they've come in at £206,000. So we've actually made a loss of £8,000 in the year, which was just £1,000 better than the original budget. Next one. Okay, for those of you who came to the communication meeting and will have got a letter from the leadership team, we were actually predicting then, that was at the start of May, a loss of £17,000 for the year just finished. So since then, and we really praise God for this, we've had some large gifts that have come in. And a number of people have increased their giving or pledged to increase their giving. And the loss now for this year is about £8,000. So that's improved from £17,000 loss to £8,000. So something really to praise God for. If we now look at the new year that's starting today, I'll take you through the key assumptions that we've got. First of all, as a lot of you will know, we're thinking about extending the building at some stage. If we do that, that will be a totally separate project and funded completely separately. So the budget for this year is just a business as usual one. On the income side, it reflects the latest trends of people have pledged to increase their giving. We built that into the budget. And that's taken it up quite a bit from where it was at the communication meeting. But there's still about a 5,000 gap. We want to break even for the year. And in faith, we've built in that 5,000 gap. And I think probably we've even closed some of that gap since, because when I did these slides a few days ago, I think we've had another one. Someone started giving as well. So there's probably a 1,000 of that's been closed already. So I'll show you a little bit more on the income in a moment. But on the personnel side, afraid for the staff, no cost of living increases this year. I mean, I think that's probably fairly consistent with the outside world. Some people are getting increases, but not that many. There's a few of the staff are on an increment scale, so they'll get their 1% increment, but I think that only applies to three of them because others are on the top of their scale. You're not going to believe this, but my lovely wife Marilyn, who looks far too young, is actually going to retire quite imminently. And so I should have more of her at home, so that'll be good. But so we've looked at the finance job. And because Marilyn knows so much more than just the finances, she gets involved in various other bits around the church. So it's just the pure finance role, we think we can reduce it from 12 hours a week down to 9. But in any case, that the role will probably be covered voluntarily for a couple of months or so, just until we see how the income is picking up. The church. Okay, next one. Yeah, thank you. Mission is something that the leadership team have had a sort of major look at. Traditionally, we've always thought of mission as just the money we give to organisations and people overseas or whatever, or in this country, it can be things like Lifeline and Faith and Yeldor, but just money we give to other organisations and people. Well, as a mission community church, we've sort of thought, well, there's actually a much bigger definition of mission. And people like Chris and Louise spend a huge amount of their time doing activities outside of church, and Steve does as well with the football club and so on. So we've sort of put an estimate together, and actually quite conservatively we spend at least 30% of our income on outside activities. So in that context, and taking into account our commitments and so on, there's been quite a review of the detached mission. So that's where we just give money to other organisations and so on. So that's still ongoing. It's not quite final, but it's, I think it's nearly there. And then, yeah, the last point is, in the budget, we've actually looked to try and make some of the projects we do more self-funding. The projects are things like Freedom in Christ course, Alpha courses, parenting, marriage, and so on. Quite often the church picks up the bill because perhaps we don't quite charge enough for those events. Same with some of the youth and children's activities. So, like the, and things, events like the Russell Hog Roast we had last year and the Nativity event. So we're going to try and look to make those slightly better at being self-funded. But it's very important, though, we don't want anyone to be excluded for financial reasons. So the church will pick up the tab for people and make sure everyone is able to go. But it's more a case about pricing things sensibly when the sort of projects are conceived. So that should, that will save us a little bit of money year over year. Okay, a little bit more on income and how we've done the budget. This was what things looked like at May when I presented at the communications meeting. It looked like the trends were going down quite badly on regular giving, and we thought for the year just finished we'd have about 191,000 of income, and flowing into the new year, 178,000, which was not a particularly good picture, but we challenged people to look at what they were giving. And if we now go to the next slide, you can see what the response has been. So for the year just finished, the income looks like being 198, so that's 7,000 better than we thought at the start of May. If we trend things on, we'd get about 186,000, and then what we actually need to break even is 191. So we've built in that extra 5,000, as I said before, so we do break even. I mean, we'd like it to be even more, so some of the detached mission things that we're thinking about reducing, we'd like perhaps like to restore some of those. And the other thing I think we'd really like to do is actually break even on a month-by-month basis. What happens during the year is, for various reasons, some people give quite big lump sums, and that's helped us to balance the books. It would be really great, with a new building potentially coming up, if those big lump sums could actually be put towards the building and we were breaking even on a regular basis. But okay, so what does the budget actually look like for the coming year? So first, the column on the left, first of all, is what happened for last year. We made a loss of 8,000. The new budget is 191,000 income and 191,000 cost. So as you can see, the income is down year over year by 7,000, but the costs, we think, are going to be down 15,000 year over year. So the big savings are on detached mission, which will get reduced, but there's savings on personnel, Marilyn's job being done voluntary for a bit and then less hours anyway. Savings on repairs and maintenance. We spent a lot this year because we had problems with the drains and electrics and things like that. And then for some of the project things to be a bit of savings on those by them being self-funding. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, right. How will I? Yeah. Yeah. Haven't paid the electricity bill. Oh, don't worry. Recovered quickly. That's it. Okay, at the May communication meeting, I communicated a budget loss of 13,000 for this year coming up. But since then, a number of people have pledged to increase their giving, and others have started to give for the first time. And based on the latest pledges, we would get a loss of about £5,000. And I've said it as in faith, we've said before, we built in the extra £5,000. To break even. So some people have already changed their standing orders. There are others, I think, who've said they've pledged to do an increase. If you haven't actioned that already, then please do. I think some people have said they'll action it, but maybe not till September. But whatever you said you'll do, if you can do that, please, that would be good. And just to sort of put it in context, Break even would require about 17 more households to give £20 a month extra, so it's not a sort of huge amount. At the May communication meeting, we were saying we needed 40 people extra, or alternatively, you'd need three more new people to start giving the current average of 140 a month. Don't get hung up about the 140. If you don't give at the moment and you know feel like you can start giving £20 a month, that would be great. 140 is just an average. It sort of ranges from people giving £10 or £20 a month up to people giving over 500. But our target is to break even for this coming year. We really want to do that. Our reserves would have to be eroded if we didn't break even, and we really want to keep our reserves for going towards the new building. We've actually got greater reserves than we sort of set ourselves a target for, so we'd quite like to allocate those to any new building. So it's important we do break even if we can. Okay, and finally, our sort of response. First of all, let's praise God for his provision, not only for the last financial year, which ended up an awful lot better than we thought, but over all the years, really. It's sort of been a privilege being involved with finance over so many years and just seeing how God's provided. Never too much, you know, we've never had sort of money wondering what to do with it, but there's always been enough for all the things we feel we should be doing. And pray for wisdom to know what we ought to be doing and for the things we shouldn't be doing. It's important we don't waste money on things for God's continued financial provision. And then as individuals, just as we've been challenged before, to review our individual tithes and offerings. If anyone wants to talk to me more about finance, then feel free to do so afterwards. I don't know if anyone's got any burning questions now. Otherwise, I'll hand over to Steve.
Can I just ask what the reserves are, John?
Yeah, our current reserves are about 55,000, and we've got a target reserve of about 35 to 40,000. Okay, we've sort of got a benchmark that we say we want to be able to cover 3 months of all our costs, basically. So that's all 3 months of the personnel costs. So we're about 20,000 at the moment, more than our sort of bottom stop. So it'd be great if we could put that to a new building. So.
When you see words like loss, that is drawn down out of a generous gift day we had a few years ago, essentially. So God has provided in some amazing ways for us. As we plan to go forward, a lot of this is what John is kind of laying before us here today, and we're just really praising God, really, for his provision, particularly in the past few weeks. So, But as John said, if there are questions, we're totally happy to answer those. John can answer quite a lot of them, but anyone in the leadership team, maybe some of the trustees. So thank you, John. I just wonder... Yeah. For quite a few of you, that may be news to you there, just how much it costs to run church and all the rest of it. And it's amazing what is done on the amount of money that is given. So I wonder if a couple of people would just like to give thanks to God on behalf of all of us, just to praise him, speak out a few words of thanksgiving to him for this last financial year. So I think it's good to come together like this in a spirit of thanksgiving, isn't it?
Father, all that we are is what you've made us. All that we have is what you've given us. And what we want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness over the years, and this particular year past you. And as we individually responded to you, Lord, we thank you that it's been sufficient to get through that year. But Lord, again, as we've been listening to what John and Steve were saying, we pray that you will stir us. That constantly we recognise that what we have we're stewards of. And guide our thinking, guide our hand in our pocket, that we don't cling on. Rather like that boy we were seeing on the news clip that will give away that treasured ball. Lord, that we put you first. And so, Lord, it's with confidence that we say, thank you, Lord, for the future. Thank you for this coming year. Thank you, Lord, for that which you set before us. And we pray for wisdom for the team as they sort out what are you saying we should do and what perhaps don't we need to do. But Lord, we want to be looking out. It's encouraging to see that so much of our resource is in some way reaching out beyond ourselves. So we say, Lord, please just keep your vision firmly in our minds, or maybe understand more of your heart. Maybe burn with compassion that places our resource at your disposal. So we say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Amen.
Amen. Linda, would you like to just come and tell us what's happening with Marilyn's role?
Yes. As John was saying, that obviously, you know, we're looking at income, we're looking at expenditure and trying to see if there's a way we can increase income and maybe reduce costs a little bit. So consequently, we, sadly, with Marilyn kind of finishing at the end of... Here she is, look at her. Got her money. being very smug, isn't she? The queen's in a counting house, yeah. That obviously with Marilyn finishing, it's kind of an obvious place to start, is to kind of think, well, are there ways that we can review Marilyn's role, that we can absorb some bits of what she does in, you know, within the other kind of staff roles and things. And so that's partly with that in mind, we kind of said, well, we will review replacing Marilyn and reduce her hours. And you know, God is so good. And talk about generous, God's generous family. Michelle McInnes came to see us to say, well, I don't know whether you know, but my background, she's just brilliant, Michelle. She's so gentle and, you know, really giving person. But she said, you know, I don't know whether you know, my background's kind of in finance, and I could, you know, for the next few months, I could come on a voluntary basis and can offer 4 or 5 hours a week. So thank you, Michelle. She's going to kind of step in. So she's already been in the office a couple of times, kind of working with Marilyn, so for a nice smooth transition as possible. But Michelle really will start properly because of holiday commitments and things from the beginning of September. And as I say, she'll be coming in on one day a week initially. And then as we kind of see, you know, hopefully continually finances continuing to pick up, and we can kind of reach that break-even point in terms of our regular giving, then we'll obviously look at that role as a whole and, you know, see what that means for Michelle and, you know, whether we need to advertise that and those kind of things. So that's just an update. But thank you very much, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, God. You know, we came out of the communication meeting in May thinking, oh, this is a bit of a challenge, and then kind of realised, actually, this is God's church. Everything we have is his, and we just got to try and hear his voice. And it's brilliant, isn't it, to see hear words like increases when times of cutbacks are going on, and it's, you know, it's a challenge. It is a challenge to talk about this. And we live in an I world, don't we? That's not a diss on Apple products, by the way, at all, because I'm a convert. But We live in an I world where it's all about me, and over many generations now, advertising has been geared to challenge the humanity inside of us that wants things and wants to acquire and all the rest of it. And what I want to do, this is going to be an increasingly big challenge with the time that's left, a bit like Andy Murray's game at Wimbledon last night. he did well, yeah, he did well to fit it in by 2 minutes past 11, didn't he, really? But put us all through the usual anguish, and I'm sure there's more of that to come this week. So I've just picked a few I's. When we come to just refreshing the whole biblical view of giving, and let's just have a look at this for a few minutes. One thing I did want to say, that church and money and all the rest of it should be inclusive, irrespective of who we are and what we have. This is the kingdom of heaven. And John said earlier, in terms of things that we do as a church, we never, ever, ever want anyone to be excluded on the grounds of finances, because people do go through hard times. And we have enough to deal with when we're going through those times, let alone a church that's communicating a message that you can only be part of this if you're able to give, contribute, all the rest of it. It's not like that in the kingdom of heaven. God's heart for the church is for it to be inclusive for everyone, whatever their background, whatever their income, whatever they have, whatever they don't have. Money and possessions do not purchase favour or influence in the church. Historically, there have been churches that have been loaded with the leaders who happen to be quite wealthy people. Therefore, they have a lot of influence and say in the life of that church. That is so wrong. What you have should not shape the influence that you have in the church. In fact, most of all, we want to be influenced by the voice of God coming through whoever in the life of the church. That's how it works, isn't it? Hearing his voice and recognising where we should be going. There was a guy in Acts chapter 8 called Simon the Sorcerer who thought he could buy influence in respect of the Holy Spirit. And the response to that from Peter was a very, very firm rebuke. That is not the way it works. You cannot buy these things with finances. And in fact, in the church, there should actually be an interdependence. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says this: all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions were his own. This wasn't some kind of communist regime that was operating through the church, making people share what they had. The Spirit of God just moved in such a refreshing way that people were just convicted to share everything they had. Who knows what lies ahead for us economically, and how much more interdependence might we need in the future. But we can actually experience much of that now. And it's always incredible. I hear lots. I sit in some ways, in a very privileged position in the life of the church. And you hear these stories of people that are struggling in different ways, and how another person in the body of Christ has heard God speak to them to give something to this person, to bless them. And it's wonderful, as we listen to the voice of the Spirit, how he leads us in our individual care and giving to one another. That's good, isn't it? I find the Acts a really exciting kind of template for what can be when the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully in a community. It's not all about the spectacular. Sometimes it's the powerful that goes on underneath that's so often hidden. And that's what I'm expecting to happen in the future. Then there is instruction. Paul writes about a church in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11, and he says this: remember this, bigger print over here, so remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a promise, isn't it? Yes. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. Wealth isn't just about finance, by the way. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. If you want a mandate for giving in the Bible, in those few verses in 2 Corinthians, there you have it. just give generously. That's the instruction. And the same church was a very inspirational church. Paul salutes them for their generosity. Macedonia was a very, very poor region of the world. They had very, very, very little. And yet, it says this, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." That sounds like a massive contradiction, doesn't it? I don't know if any of you have been to poor parts of the world. I remember going to Poland and Bulgaria years and years ago, and it was really difficult to accept the hospitality from people who were giving us everything, who we knew had nothing. And it was so hard to receive that and to be welcomed into their homes. And you know, it's just difficult. And here's a church that's just like that. "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints." I wonder if we regard our giving as a privilege to give of what God has given us to see his kingdom extended. And I think it's just amazing how God does provide. I just want to very briefly talk a little bit about how giving is linked so often to vision. We believe as a church that it's a leadership responsibility to acknowledge, communicate, model and lead the church into the vision that God sets before us. But vision, however, as I said just now, doesn't come just through leaders alone, but through the whole church body. It was great when Nigel had that little word this morning that for me unlocked a big part of, in a very, very simple way, a big part about how we see things bigger than they are. And that's how it works actually in terms of visions. Often vision comes from different parts of the body. And a part of the leadership role is to listen out and to hear the voice of God as he speaks through the body of Christ, because we're all priests, and to put it all together and build a sense of, right, God, we sense where you're taking us. We need to communicate that back to the church, and then we need to develop strategies strategies that will serve that vision. So we have strategies to get into the schools, to get into various parts of the community out here, and those have been developed over some period now, and we're beginning to see some of the fruitfulness of that. It's those strategies that actually cost the money to turn the vision into reality, and that's why we need funding. You may have noticed that we have a strong missional flavour here at Brookside. The reason the guys are down at Laurel Park this afternoon supporting what Isabel's doing with 660 is essentially missional. It's to show the love of God into the communities through doing some practical and fun things, totally connected to who we are as church. Don't ever view those things separately. I was really chuffed to listen to the gospel choir last night and thinking, yeah, this is us being church in action. This is another demonstration of how church can be. So often we view church, as we were thinking about last week, when we gather together in a building at a certain time. Church is much bigger than that, isn't it? God's heart to reveal his wisdom to principalities and powers. So we have a strong missional flavour. By being part of the church family at Brookside, we each begin to own and share and work in the vision that God has given us. And then we begin to share the values that we live by. It's really, really important that our church values, our dream, is a tangible, something that's tangible among us, as well as the vision that we're working towards. We want to be a bunch of people that others like to be among, don't we? We want to be a fun family to be with. And we celebrate God's goodness and his generosity among his people. That's all part of owning the family commitments. Moving quickly on. All financial giving and spending in this church is carefully managed by trustees and the leadership team together. And I don't know if you realise this, but no one in the leadership team knows how much people give. We don't make it our business to find out who's giving what. That's between you and God, and it's only literally some of the people that need to know, because they're entering it into books, who do know. So it's totally down to you. We do not compel you as leaders to give. We love it when you do own and share in the vision, because that's how it works. So the trustees and leadership work together, and there is complete confidentiality in terms of giving, as there is so many other aspects of church life. Ways to give regularly? Well, it's all very practical. You can put money into an offering basket. You can set up a standing order or direct debit. And that's really, really helpful, particularly with regular giving. You probably know that what percent can we reclaim from the government of people who pay tax, John?
25%.
25% currently. So if you're a taxpayer, don't know if you realise this, but we can reclaim at no cost to you the tax that is given. 25% of the tax that's given can come back to us, and those are really helpful reclaims. How is money spent? We have a staff team who are either partly or fully salaried. We have a building to run. John already alluded to the fact that a few things are wearing out in this business, so we are looking to extend out the back as well as to do a bit of refurbishment. And the reason for that is that the building is so well used, and that's what we want it to be, isn't it? It's great. This building is so regularly used that things begin to wear out, and those things either have to be repaired or replaced. John's talked about increased regular giving, and we praise God for that. And if you go away from a meeting this morning, all we're asking you to do is to seek God, to ask him to speak and to show you how and where your giving should go. If you part of the church, you would have either seen on the Facebook site or through receiving a letter that the Brookside leadership team want to actually come into your home for around about an hour, if you'd like us to pray God's blessing into your life, every area of your life, that you might be blessed spiritually, emotionally, physically, employment, job, family, whatever your concerns are. We'd love to do that. And we've got about a dozen families or individuals already are saying, can you come and pray for us? So do contact the church office if you'd like us to come in and pray for you. We do believe God is literally calling us to enlarge the tent here. So there'll be more about that in the months ahead, about the building out of the back. But most of all, the message today is to say thank you to God for his generosity through his people. And thank you to you for hearing his voice, showing you how you should be giving. Not just into the storehouse that is Brookside Church, as Alan referred to earlier, to projects like Uganda, to Irene in Romania, and different things like that. It's just amazing to see everything that we're able to do through the church body here. So in winding down this morning, what we'd like to do, you've probably heard the Brookside leadership team mention that quite a lot now we're using declarations to speak out in faith the purposes of God. And what I'd like you to do is just to read these through now quietly to yourself. And if you agree with those statements in a moment, I'd like you to just join me in standing, I'll say when, and for us to read these out and to declare them together. I'll read them out first of all, if you can't see them quite at the back. The first one is, our God will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Agree with that? And Brookside is increasingly characterised by generosity, exuberance and glistening hope. That's both the now and the not yet, but what will come. So if you'd like to join in agreement with us and declare those things, and then I'd just like to pray at the end, and that'll be it for this morning. So if you'd like to stand, and let's read these out. So, our God will meet all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Brookside is increasingly characterized by generosity, exuberance, and glistening hope. Father, we thank you for the stories that we're hearing, both publicly, privately, individually, in conversation through the Facebook site. We thank you for all the exciting things that you're doing. We thank you for the generosity of your people. We thank you for the increasing exuberance and the dynamic that is among us. And we pray that that exuberance will roll out of us, will trickle out of us into our particular communities, workplaces, wherever it is you call us to go. We pray that people will come across a generous-hearted God through us, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the glistening hope. We thank you that you have set in us this hope, this joy that is set before us. The same joy that you, Lord Jesus, had set before you went to the cross. And Father, we pray that during 2012, 2013, we'll hear amazing stories of your provision to us as individual families and people. And at the same time, Lord, we'll be able to hear people like John saying, it's amazing to see what you're doing in terms of giving into the life of the church. And we pray that you will lead us in our steps and decision-making as a church over this next year, that we'll get involved all in all the things that Holy Spirit, you're opening up to us on an individual and corporate level. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I could just remind you to help with chairs at the end. Next week we have Pete Cant that was, is going to be with us, leading us in a time of extended worship in celebration next Sunday here at Brookside.